News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, ask the expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Ask the Expert. I am your host, Ray Lytle. We are live on August 23rd, 2016. My expert today is a registered dietitian with Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center. It's Erin Spinner. Hello, Erin. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for having me.
We are going to be discussing, kids are going back to school, and they're rushed and happy about school, but something a lot of people forget in getting school supplies and making sure there's a way for kids to get there and the bus or rides or however it's going to work out, and they're worried about kids getting home and safely, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times they forget, okay, what are we going to do about nutrition, because it's no longer the summer schedule. We're now going to school, so we're going to talk about a back-to-school nutrition today. As you know, Erin is a registered dietitian, and so let's talk to you. Why is it so hard for people? Number one, that's a big transition to go from summer to go to school year, and we tend to not eat so well. We tend to eat a lot of junk. Why is that?
Well, anytime you have a change to a schedule or a change in routine, that has a lot of rippling effects, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
I mean, you change one thing and suddenly other things are all affected. And so whenever you have a shock to the system, like going back to school, which is a huge change, other kind of routines get disrupted, and one of those is definitely healthy eating.
Well, for example, my daughter's a teenager, so she didn't have to go to daycare or anything like that. But she'd wake up, and then for breakfast, it was always some type of eggs that were prepared or some type of fruit. It was always like a healthy breakfast. Well, now it's school time, and there's just not enough time. She's not waking up at 10 in the morning anymore. Now she's waking up at, 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
and she's rushed.
The door by 7.
Exactly. So breakfast is like a Rice Krispie treat or something.
Yeah.
And you realize after a couple of days, it's like, okay, we've really got to change that. We've got to find a way for her to eat a little healthier.
Well, and I think time is probably, if I could summarize most of the problems the people I talk to every day have with eating healthfully, I would say time is the major, major barrier that gets in the way of making the healthy choices. A Pop-Tart's easy. You don't have to heat it up. But to sit down and have chopped fruit with that egg, I mean, you're right, a summer meal versus a school meal, those, they have different considerations.
You're right. You know, like a Rice Krispie treat or a granola bar that's dipped in chocolate or whatever. You know, these little breakfast things or these little treat things, they're so much easier to just grab on your way out, stick it in your book bag, and eat it on the way to the bus. I mean, so you're right. We need to make time, and that requires people to wake up earlier. Nobody wants to wake up earlier.
Yeah, a lot of the struggles I talk to people about all day is like, okay, I'm not going to be able to make time in the morning, so what am I supposed to do, right?
Right.
Well, I always suggest, like, okay, so the morning, that's just a no-go. That is a non-starter. So what can we do ahead of time? Is there any time, maybe at the end of the day before, to kind of get ready for the next day? I mean, you've probably heard all of those, like, the organization gurus, they talk about how to, like, keep your closets clean and stuff.
Right,
they'll
yeah.
tell you, set your clothes out ahead of time, then in the morning, you already have it. You know what you're going to wear. You can just put it on and get out the door in a timely fashion. Food's the same way. If you can make the hard decisions when you are alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic, and not have to make those hard decisions in the morning when you are groggy, not quite caffeinated enough, and kind of grumpy that you got to go out the door anyway,
right?
Win.
So what's a good breakfast? For example, I see a lot of kids eating a piece of toast. Like, what did you have for breakfast? Oh, I had a piece of toast. Is a piece of toast good for you?
Well, it certainly can be, but a part of a good for you breakfast.
There has to be more than just a piece of toast.
More. Yeah. I mean, usually we talk a lot about trying to get a little bit of protein in the beginning of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And protein comes from foods like eggs and cheese, milk and yogurt, those sorts of things. But also you can get it from like nuts and seeds and things.
All right.
Or a protein bar. okay? You do want to start your day with a little bit of protein and kind of back it up with some of those other things. A piece of toast, not a lot of substance there. It's going to leave you high and dry by the middle of the morning.
Right.
So if you can get a little bit of protein laid down to put with that toast, or maybe like you were talking about your daughter's summertime breakfast, the eggs with some fruit, that's going to be a much better pairing.
So we got, you know, and it doesn't take that long to make an egg. You know,
if you're waking up at 6:30 and trying to roll out the
yeah, it's true.
I mean, even those short cooking things can be a barrier.
What about a hard-boiled egg? Can't you make a hard-boiled egg the night before and then just grab it?
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I was gonna say, if you can do something ahead of time, like a hard-boiled egg, then you're going to be in much better shape in the morning.
And then have that, you know, maybe once or twice a week, because if you have a hard-boiled egg every day, kids are going to stop. They're going to get sick of it.
It's true. Variety is the spice of life.
Right. And then you mentioned nuts are important. You can have different types of nuts. You can have cheese. Like what, string cheese? Is that okay for breakfast?
String cheese would be a great option as part of a breakfast. It's going to be the protein, so you might want to put a little bit of something with it, because a little string cheese probably isn't going to keep you satisfied for very far into your school day.
But if you have that with a piece of toast, you know.
Well, we talked about the protein, kind of those. That protein is the foundation, then what you want to put with it is going to be, you know, some kind of carbohydrate. Now, carbs get it dirty.
Right.
They have they're kind of a dirty word for some people. But carbs come from lots of places. Carbs come from dairy products like yogurt, like a glass of milk. They come from fruit. They do come from those whole grains. So like a piece of toast with a string cheese is not the most orthodox breakfast, but it'd certainly get you there.
You know, it doesn't.
Dry cereal with a yogurt would give you the same thing.
It doesn't take much to grab a cantaloupe and a honeydew melon or maybe some pine, just different types of fruits, and chop them all up and put them in a bowl on like a Sunday night. And then, you know, every morning, you know, grab a spoonful out or late, you know, grab some of that fruit out and put in a little cup. There you go. Something to eat on the way to the bus or what? I mean, or whatever. They could do that too, right?
Now you're thinking ahead because you did the hard part ahead of time. The same thing works for vegetables or fruits for an after-school type scenario. Research shows that if it's hard, we are not going to do it once we're already hungry.
Yeah, because after school,
you've been hungry staring in the fridge.
Right.
You're not going to reach for the whole apple that still needs to be washed and cut and you know, prepared. You want to reach for something that's already done, like maybe some cut-up apple slices or some baby carrots that are already done. You're not going to reach into the crisper drawer and get out a carrot that still needs to be washed and peeled.
That's why people like grapes. You just pick up a grape and just eat it.
Yeah. That's another great option for some of these busy times of day, like before school and after school.
You mentioned after school, and I want to talk about that for a little bit, because most kids, you know, they get home from school and, you know, they go, oh, I'm so hungry. They're famished. Some of these kids, depending on when the lunch is at school,
it could be as early as 10:30.
Yeah, and they're starving when the time they get home. And what do? They go and they open the cabinet and grab Fruit Loops or Cocoa Puffs or something like that.
You're going to grab what's easy.
Yeah, and that's probably not the best idea for an after school. I mean, maybe it is, but I'm guessing that's not the best idea for an after school snack.
Something that's important, especially when we're trying to teach kids about how to eat and how to feed themselves, because that is the grand idea of parenting, right?
Right.
Someday they will leave the nest. They are not going to be in our basements forever.
Right.
You know, so I think that in this time of transition, in this back-to-school time, another thing that's really important for us to kind of help our children through is kind of fostering some autonomy, helping them learn to feed themselves. And so you are totally right. You get home from school, lunch was a long time ago, you are famished and rifling through the cabinet, looking for anything and anything that's there and ready to eat. That's kind of an uncontrolled situation, and so kind of like the first thing that looks good is what will be chosen, right?
Right, yeah. Or what's easiest.
Yeah, what's easy. And so just like for breakfast, we need to maybe have thought this through ahead of time. I love what you were saying about cutting up some fruit on Sunday.
Yeah.
What if you also kind of made maybe it's a bin that you have in the refrigerator and you have a bunch of choices for after school snacks, and those are in there.
Right.
Maybe a few Little Debbie snack cakes make it into that bin.
Oh,
but they're also going to be next to things like those little baby carrots or maybe the string cheeses or those grapes, kind of those things we think of as being more healthy, and get a good mix. Let your kids help you. Ask them what they want. Let them help you make those choices. Bring them into the process and make sure they know where it is. And so if you got 5 after-school snacks in there, maybe a Little Debbie snack cake and some fruit and some string cheese and some baby carrots and then like some of those like peanut butter cracker things. There's 5 choices, okay? Well, on Mondays, they'll choose one of those 5.
Right. It'll be the Little Debbie snack cake.
Yeah. Well, so
those will be gone by Wednesday.
Used on Monday, so it's not there on Tuesday.
Right, yeah.
You know? But what we're teaching is that sometimes it's okay it's okay to have kind of a treat every once in a while, but once it's gone, I mean, there's not another one. We got to back it up with some.
Yeah, maybe you teach your child to say, you know what, that is the best, but I actually would like that on Friday, so I'm going to have a little peanut butter cracker thing, or I'm going to have some fruit today, and then tomorrow I'll have, you know, like it'd be nice to teach children to not just immediately grab what they think is the best tasting thing, but maybe actually, you know, schedule out their stuff.
And don't be surprised if for the first couple of weeks, that's the first thing they get on Monday. But then you got to back it up with, no, babe, no, honey, you already ate that. Yeah. So now what do you want? One of these other 4.
Yeah, but when they get there Friday.
With whatever's left, that's the time for a conversation.
So you're saying when they get there Friday and they want to kick off the weekend with a Little Debbie cake and they realize that they're gone, that's gone, I already ate that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to go, you know what, next week I should wait until Friday. That's when I really like it. Or, you know.
With some parental guidance.
Yeah.
Those conversations, those realizations can definitely happen. But we have to be there to help our kids through those processes.
Right.
And we got to be the strong ones, too. It would be so easy to just buy 2 Little Debbie snack cakes next week, right?
Oh, yeah. One for me.
That's not what we want for our kids.
Right.
So we got to kind of own that process, too.
Well, you're right. I mean, and what an amazing thing as a parent to see your child make the healthier choice. I mean, when they come to you, when you say, oh, you're not having a snack cake today. It's Monday. No, I'm going to save it because I realized it'd probably be better on Friday.
Yeah. Or just, you know, even just down like you notice they're eating the carrots. And you're like, oh, hey, those carrots look good. You know, that might spark that conversation, too. Trying to keep food as a neutral topic is really important.
I want to pick this up. We got to go to news. I want to pick this up in a minute. I'm going to get back to after-school snacks. And also talk about stress-free meals. And it seems that you know, the amount of time it goes in to prepare a meal is crucial this time of year, especially working mothers, working fathers, you know, just busy families, kids going to school, parents are working. There's a lot of madness going on before school and also after school now.
And into the evening
throughout
the weekend.
And people end up eating at 9 o'clock at night and stuff. So I want to talk about all that as well. We're talking about back to school nutrition with Erin Spenner. She is a registered dietitian with Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5.
Welcome back to Ask the Expert. We are discussing back to school nutrition. So many kids, they don't get a chance to eat. They don't eat healthy for breakfast, and they get home from lunch. They don't get a chance to really eat that healthy there either. Our expert this week is Erin Spenner, registered dietitian with Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center, and we're discussing different ways that kids can eat a little healthier by taking some time, maybe the night before, or finding time in our busy days to put things together for them to eat for breakfast and snack on in the afternoons. What do we do? You know, we talked about finding time, Erin, and how to do it. But what do we do to encourage our children to eat the healthy stuff, like to not come home and have like 4 bowls of cereal or just to eat the snack cakes and stuff? Is it just a matter of having that stuff around the house, or how do we encourage our kids to go ahead and give some baby carrots or some vegetables or something as a snack? Give it a shot.
The thing that has the most influence on a child's food choices is what their parents eat.
So
sitting down with your kid, splitting a bag of baby carrots, or using that time to sit there and talk to them about their day, they model what they see.
No, you're absolutely correct. You're so correct with that.
Encourage those choices is by making them ourselves first.
Right.
But another one is really engaging a kid in the decision-making process. Kids do not have very much control over what happens to them in a day. They are told when to wake up and when to get on the bus and what to do once they get to school and which classroom to go to. And when the bell rings, they move. And then they get home, and it's time to exert a little bit of power, you know?
Right.
They've been really good all day long. And so by the time they get home, they just want a little bit of control. And so involving them in the process, maybe like asking them a couple different things or giving them a list like, okay, we can have this food, or this food. Which one would you like?
You know,
that can work for some kids. Some kids may be at that point at the end of the day where you just need to hand them a cheese stick and say, here you go, you know? But the older elementary school kids and into middle school, I mean, they're old enough to start really participating in the decisions, in the decisions of what they eat. And so guidance from parents through that process is really important. So I would say first and foremost, model the behaviors you want your kids to exhibit. And secondly, let them have a voice in the decision-making process on what is for dinner, what is for snack, what do you have in your house? And then, of course, being like, okay, you can't have oatmeal cream pies and ho-hos and, you know, and the little zingers. Let's pick one of those. And next week, we'll get another one. But in most homes, the parents are the ones doing the grocery shopping. I don't know very many school-aged kids who are taking the car to county market and, you know, filling up a grocery buggy. So we are the gatekeepers of what enters our home, but we can involve our kids in the decision-making process.
You know, the thing you said that really that stuck with me was, as parents, we set the example. You know, when I started losing weight, I switched from snacks that were of the sweet variety or creamy or whipped cream filled variety. And I started doing things like eating almonds or different types of nuts. And you mentioned that earlier, and it just a little light bulb went off above my head. Just today, my wife and I were discussing the fact that my daughter's lunch at school isn't until way later in the day than she's used to eating. And I'm talking to my wife, and I go, man, she's so hungry at lunch. What is she doing? My wife said, oh, well, she's now on this kick. She's taking, she's taking those little, the nut packages that you have.
Go, girl.
And so what she's doing now is my daughter's now eating, which is weird for me because I go looking for the nuts. I can't find them anywhere. But, I mean, she's now taking those, and she's eating them around 10:30 at school in between classes. So that's her little snack. And she's now eating those, and that's something she never even tried until I started eating it, which is part of my weight loss. You know, I'm trying to do less carbs and stuff. And you're right. That's something that made her do it.
Well, congrats to you on your weight loss, but even more congrats to you for modeling those behaviors because she was watching.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now you said your daughter is high school, right?
Yeah, she's in high school now. She's a freshman in high school.
Yeah. So, I mean, the high schoolers have a little, like, the thing about kids and snacks and meals and all this is that you go to preschool when you're 4 and you stay in high school until you're 18.
Yeah.
So bringing little nut packs might not be a thing for everybody, but
right.
I love that. She was watching you.
Well, she did it because she's just so hungry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she doesn't have lunch now until much later in the day because high school has several lunches and she got the last one. So I love the fact that she's now eating a little snack. And I assumed when my wife told me what snack she's, I was like, all right, there's probably some type of snack cake or a Rice Krispie thing or some granola thing or something. My wife says, no, she's taking those little almonds and she's eating those. And when you said that, I was like, wow, maybe she actually picked that up from me. So I think that's awesome.
I bet she did.
Let's talk a little. Let's go to dinner now.
Okay.
All right. We've covered before school, the breakfast. We've covered after school snacks. Let's go to dinner. You know, the family has to eat. Can I start with this? What do we do to where we can eat earlier than 9 o'clock at night? Because it seems sometimes it's so busy at my house, we don't eat until really late.
Yeah. And I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record here, Ray, but the key really is to be thinking about it ahead of time. Making the decision ahead of time so you already have a game plan. We've all been there. It's like, what's for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? I don't care. Well, how about this? Well, anything but that, you know? And it'll go on and on for 20 minutes, and then you get started on it, right?
And you don't even go to the store to get it until 20 minutes after.
Right. You're like, well, okay, if this is what we're deciding on, well, I don't have an onion, so I'm going to go to the grocery store, you know?
Right.
And so those things eat up time. The situation changes dramatically whenever the question is asked, what's for dinner? And there's a ready answer. Well, we're having meatloaf, sweet potatoes, and green beans, or whatever is on the docket for that day. Because if it's been thought about ahead of time and put on the grocery list and bought, now you can start on those things.
It sounds like the same thing with the snacks.
You can actually chop up some of those things.
Yeah.
Because ahead of time, so that when the time comes to make dinner, you have things that are already started being prepped. They're already a little bit more ready to go, and that saves so much time.
Using my family as an example, my wife decided, you know, because I can eat chicken, you know, so she decided she wants to bake a chicken. So she came home at lunch today, went home, and over the lunch hour, my wife, you know, got a chicken, and she put it in a roasting pan with, you know, whatever she chopped up to put in it, and then she put it back in the kitchen. And there's a note for my daughter that says, you know, when you get home from school at this time, put this in the oven on this, you know, at this. So in other words, it'll be baking before my wife even leaves work, and by the time she gets home, it'll be time to put everything out.
Well, so
when we plan in advance, that's the kind of thing we're getting to do now.
Yeah, well, and there's a couple things at work there. One, you thought ahead. The family came together and discussed, we are having a roast chicken, which means mom has to do this part and daughter's going to do this part.
Right.
Okay? And so the family talked about it, so people kind of had their marching orders to make the evening go more smoothly. Another thing is that I really love that you're involving your daughter in the meal preparation. Now, she's in high school.
Yeah.
She can put a chicken in the oven. But for your little guys, I mean, even if they just set the table, even if or if they open up the bag of lettuce and pour it in a bowl and then take the bowl to the table and get the salad dressing from the fridge, those little tasks, the involvement in the family mealtime, is really important for building that autonomy, once again, teaching them the skills they need to hopefully grow up and leave the nest, right? But also, it involves them in the process. Tons and tons of research shows that kids and adults are far more likely to eat food that they've had a hand in preparing.
Oh, okay. So how long are we talking about? How long, I mean, at what age do we tell the kids, okay, you're going to start becoming part of the process?
I think as soon as you can safely carry things, and you can start helping. Now, that might mean, here's a handful of spoons. Go put one by every plate. Okay?
Right.
That's involvement in the process. And you can do that in early, like 4 or 5 years old. Or even earlier for some kids. You're going to probably want to wait until like first or second grade before they have a lot of real food type tasks. But really, it's just kind of depending on the kids. Some kids follow directions better than other kids. You know?
We're not handing 7-year-olds cleavers and saying, hey, debone that chicken.
We're not handing 7-year-olds.
Yeah, we're not doing that. But you're saying, you know, at certain ages, they can still help. Like,
yeah.
We talk about making a salad. I mean, if a child washes their hands and stuff, they could peel the lettuce apart and do stuff like that.
Sure.
I want to take our last break and come back. We'll wrap the whole thing up. I really enjoyed this. We're talking about back-to-school nutrition. Our expert is Aaron Spenner, registered dietitian with Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center. We'll come back with more Ask the Expert in just a moment on WTAX.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
I've learned a lot. I hope that you have too. We are, of course, talking about back-to-school nutrition. Got about 5 more minutes more with Erin Spenner, our expert today. She's a registered dietitian with Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center. Thank you once again for being here, Erin. I've learned a lot.
Well, I'm so glad. This has been really, really fun to be on your show. So thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you. Let's talk about trying to put the whole thing together. We've discussed, you know, how important it is to have a good healthy breakfast. To have good healthy snacks. Occasionally, though, kids are going to slip up, right? I mean, occasionally we're going to probably be forced to eat something that that we'd rather they not eat, but that's going to happen, right?
When was the last time you did anything perfectly?
Yeah, never. Never.
It's okay if our kids
right.
A less than perfect choice
right.
Once in a while. Of course. Yes, that's part of this whole learning process. The whole point of teaching children to make sure you get a good breakfast and have a good snack and then help out at dinner is so that you can learn how to build a healthy lifestyle. And I don't know about you, but cupcakes are kind of part of my healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. I like to go to a wedding reception, maybe have an extra piece of cake. Of course, that means I can't have anything for like the next 2 weeks, but it does happen.
Well, and so that brings up another conversation. What is every once in a while? If you really take a good hard look and you're like, oh, I didn't realize that all of the 5 snacks in the after-school bin were Little Debbie snack cakes this week.
Right.
That's not once in a while.
No.
Can we just agree on that?
Yeah.
So moderation is a really difficult concept for adults and kids alike to grasp. But in general, most, and by definition, most means more than half, of our decisions should be towards the healthy side. So looking at the overall patterns and kind of giving our kids and ourselves a little bit of grace for those kind of things where the chicken burned, work ran late, the bus, I missed the bus, all of those things happen in families. So cutting yourself some slack and not really expecting perfection.
Every family once a month or something is going to do this. You know what? It's just everything. We're just going to order pizza. That's going to happen. It's going to happen, or we're going to get Chinese food or whatever.
Well, and for some families, that happens more than others. And
right.
So if that's a problem, I know in my house, it seems like something is always coming up
right.
And derailing the best laid plans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the strategies I really like to work with families on developing is having what I call emergency meal, okay? And in my family, what that looks like is 6-inch Subway sandwiches.
Yep. All right, there you go. Yeah.
Because whenever something happens and it derails your plan, it is so easy to say, well, I guess it's pizza. I guess it's burgers and fries. I guess it's Chinese or whatever. But if you even make a plan for the times when the plan falls apart, like, okay, things fell apart, but I know I can get a healthy meal here and here, then you've already done the hard part. You've made the decision. You can go. It's a go-to solution. Another way of doing that is making sure you have some pretty standard food items in your house. In my house, we have some whole wheat pasta, a jar of sauce, burger in the freezer, and frozen broccoli. That is a meal that me and my family can pull together in about 25
minutes. Fairly quickly, yeah.
Yeah. But those are my standard pantry items.
Mm-hmm.
When I use the box of pasta, I make sure it goes on the list because as soon as you don't have your emergency supplies, an emergency is going to happen, right?
That's right.
So so having those kind of emergency meals in your head already makes even the chaotic emergency time a lot easier to handle. The family knows what the plan is, and we can roll with it.
Erin Spenner, listen, I thank you for being on. You've been great today. It seems to me like the secret is to make eating healthy the norm and those other things being the exception instead of the other way around, which unfortunately most of us have. That's going to wrap up Ask the Expert this week. Aaron Spinner,
this has been
thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX, brought to you by Memorial Health System. For more information about Memorial Health System, visit choosememorial.org and join us every Tuesday at 3 for Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM. WTAX. Whether it's